I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And back for another preview in the NRL with Timmy Witt. How you doing, brother?
I'm tired, mate, but Easter's here, so I'm stinging for a few days off, mate. But other than that, going well. How about you, big dog?
Mate, pretty good. Same as you. Looking forward to a long weekend, as are all the punters out there, I'm sure, that are listening to us right now. And the feedback continues to come, mate. They love you. They absolutely love you.
Poor old Box. He's punching me with one arm tied behind his back. I know he wants to be talking about things that he can't, but I've seen him copping a hammering. But yeah, look, I'll keep the seat warm for a little while longer, mate. We'll see if you can add some value this week.
Mate, it's all good. We get to have a bit of fun. That's the thing. We get to bring a bit of fun. We get to have a bit of a punt. And we get to do that thanks to bluebet.com.au. If you're going to have a bet with anyone, make sure you do it with a true blue bookie. Visit the website or download the app today. I've got a double up this week in the charity. I got caught up in work last week, so I didn't have one. So I'll be having two cracks. But we'll go through these games, have a look, see if we can find some value, find some tips and give our thoughts. And it all kicks off tomorrow night, your Penny Panthers Thursday night at Allianz up against the Roosters. This one still looks like a pearler of a game, but as has been the theme after two rounds, cruel and injury toll. So Cleary, we know now, missing for a month. So Schneider, the third iteration of the backup halfback for them, a good option at that one, in my opinion. I liked what I saw of him at his time in Canberra. They've obviously lost Sorensen as well, who was not long back in from an injury. He's going to go out for, they thinking, maybe a month. So you've got Garner in on that edge, and the long-awaited debut of Maverick Geyer. Big MG was very emotional today. It's obviously close to his heart, not only for the fact that he played there, his uncle played there, and then obviously in memory of Ben, which Mav made mention to in a bit of an interview he did. So very emotional and very proud week for the whole Geyer and Alexander clan. But, you know, despite missing some of those troops and the Roosters getting a couple back in while losing Lindsay Collins themselves, I still think it should be a very good game of football.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think both teams are going to be 100% honest. That's where it's going to be at. And I think last week you saw that with the Roosters. I thought against Manly 2 weeks ago, they probably didn't fire all of their shots. And last week they came out absolutely hammering against South and just blew them off the park. And I thought it was, a lot of it was intent, albeit South, once again, very ordinary. I thought the Roosters just didn't give them a chance. Same goes for the Panthers. Last week when Brisbane copped a few injuries and there was a bit of a shift, it's not like they took their foot off the pedal until about the sort of 50th minute, and then it went into sort of a bit of rubbish time. But I think both sides and both clubs really, and it is, this is the testing of, I guess, what a club has behind the top 17. And to your point and Brocky's point, for many years, it takes a club to win a comp, and it tests the depth, and it's about a roster. And it's a real opportunity for, particularly for Penrith, seeing a couple of guys go through. You touched on Brad Schneider. Obviously, he was at Canberra. I thought he was quite good and he was up and coming and quite promising. Went and cut his teeth over in the Super League. He comes back in the form line of Penrith doing that with O'Sullivan in 22 and then Cogger again with 23. Penrith fans are going to get an earlier look at that option and to see what depth there is. You also still have Jack Cole, who played in the World Club Challenge. So getting a look now isn't the worst thing. Still, obviously, I thought Lindsay Smith and Liam Henry, getting some minutes into those guys last week. Liam Henry had an outstanding game and made the most of his opportunity. I think it's going in glass half full. It's a good look to see what the depth is. I think the Roosters will be too strong. I think on the back of what occurred last Friday and with some of the outs for Penrith, it's just natural to think that the Roosters will build upon that. I think Sam Walker not being ruled out, I think he's been really strong in the last month or the first couple of weeks. I think there's a bit of maturity there. But it's Tedesco, the outside backs. I think they're just absolutely churning through the meters and intent. And equally matched with a couple of young guys like Tyrrell May, still impresses me on a week-to-week basis. Big Jared came back in an absolute epic night last week. And I think the Roosters will be too strong. But just going back to the Maverick Guyer selection, like it's really pleasing as a Penrith fan. But you and Box know the family and have had a lot to do with MG over the years. Like, for what's the backstory with Mav and what does he do? Is he more of a middle or is he more of an edge? Like, what's your sort of take? I mean, you guys have intimate knowledge, you're close mates with MG, and besides being extremely proud, like, what are you thinking he's going to bring in off the bench that maybe we haven't seen for some of the other players in that 17 jersey previously?
Well, he's been used a little bit differently the last couple of years, and he's one of these guys that unfortunately was stunted a little bit with COVID, because all those guys that miss flag or a year or two there have cut, like, it's just cutting your teeth against men, basically. But for him, junior background, he come through as a six, a bit like Logan, but he's basically turned into his dad. He's a monster. He's big, he moves well. I think attacking-wise, you'd love to have him on an edge, but coming through the grades when you are the bigger person, you've been playing in a more skilled position, it obviously gets tougher to defend as an edge. But I think naturally with his size and the ball playing side of things, he's sort of moved in cut between middle and edge. I don't know what their ultimate goal is with him in the end, but for me, I like him as middle. I think he could definitely play on an edge with that skill background and skill base, but the size he's turned into now, like he's obviously an athlete. He's very lean, he moves well. But I think, just take away the defensive decisions for him, put him in the middle and let him use his frame. He's got good footwork. He can pop an offload. He could pass if he needs to. So he certainly that junior base to what he's turned into physically. I think long term, if he turns into a middle for him, wouldn't surprise me. But he wouldn't look out of place attacking wise on an edge. I think it's just more defensively, like anyone. You just need reps if you're going to play edge in the NRL. So I think middle's the goal, but minutes wise, no fish. Lindsay did a good job last week. Liam did. Eisenhuth only got limited minutes. So I think in a situation with no pressure on them, one of the first times in a long time, they wouldn't be the favourite. I don't know what sort of minutes he gets. I'd like to think they just give him one good 15, 20-minute stint, maybe. I don't think they'll want to throw him to the Wolves, but I'm with you. I sort of look at this and think the Roosters should have too much, even with their few changes. You see their forward depth, like to be able to bring in Egan Butcher and Angus Crichton in the last 2 weeks, start Tyrrell. Nafau White played for New Zealand only after a handful of games. Watson was good on return last week. I think Penrith will be same old Penrith. What they're maybe lacking a little bit with a couple of forwards missing, they're going to play off their back five. They're going to try and set start well. We know how helpful those guys are, and Schneider is pretty much a robot. You insert the game plan, let him kick and control. And I was wondering who they'd go with. They went with Cole or Laurie, that would tell me that they obviously want Luai to be the seven and run the show. But the selection of Snyder says to me that they still want Luai to be, the one who's free to sort of attack and spin around and connect, and Schneider's going to be the one steering. So, final thoughts are similar to you. I think Roosters, but 1-12 or head to head, like close. I don't think a blowout. And if I was going to look for something outside of that, I wouldn't say it's a weakness, but having Garner come back in next to Luai and changing that sort of spot on the edge, I think that matchup up against Manu, Young, and that right edge might be sort of the spot I'd look if I was going to go for a try scorer. Like I said, I think Penrith would just really bunker down and do what we know they do better than anyone, which is move with their back five, kick, and try to strangle and just hold the ball.
Yeah, I think it's. I just think, given the outs for Penrith and a bit of the shake-up, and obviously matched with the Roosters righting the wrongs of 2 weeks ago, and just on the back of last week, I think it's natural to think that they'll probably be too strong here. I think it will be a bit of a tighter game than anticipated. I'd probably go the Roosters head to head. If I was to bet against Penrith, I think Joseph Manu, $2.87, anytime try scorer as well. I think at a point in time, if those edges start to get a bit fragile or things go through, he's the sort of player that can sort of cut you to ribbons, even if nothing's doing. It's good to match up for Tungo this week and May as well with the centre pairings. Obviously, Tungo's had two of the really outstanding games, but he's been obviously defending against a makeshift back rower moving across. So, I think he's there or thereabouts for representative honours down the line. But this is a good test with Suoliti and also Manu. But Yeah, for me, I just think it's a good look, and it's sort of, with three premierships behind Penrith, it is actually, I'm going to take a bit out of this just watching as a fan, where you want to see some of these guys come through. Like, it was interesting last week, Liam Henry stayed on for extra minutes, and they actually put Lindsay Smith onto an edge when May, oh, I figured it was May, came off for a HIA, and they actually shifted across, and Lindsay had been a back rower as a junior and had actually a bit of ball skills as well. So just seeing that sort of shake up now, I think it's all upside at the moment to do it from round three to round seven. There's no point risking it. Penrith get the bye. Nathan gets a bit of time off. The Sorensen one, you don't want to see that. Obviously another 4 weeks with a knee injury. But yeah, I think it's a good way to kick off what is going to be a long, long weekend of good footy across Easter. But yeah, Roosters too strong for me. Just.
Yep, I'm with you there. And bluebet.com.au agree. They've got the Roosters, $1.57 favorite, 240. The Panthers, that 1-12. Like I said, if I was going to go somewhere, $2.80. I'd probably rather just stick with the win and then pick a try scorer. And I'm like you, that right side mainly, Manu. And it's not even so much a defensive thing. I think it's the fact that missing a couple of middles, missing Nathan. They generally don't have to defend inside their 20 a lot. They're generally playing off the front foot and they win possession, they win territory. But this might be one of the first nights just with, Fish and a couple of guys missing that the Roosters get them on the back foot, maybe inside 20 a couple of times and are able to pressure an edge. So I think, yeah, Manu's pretty good at 287 and Teddy was 250 last week. I just like Teddy because he's not just playing through the middle and hang around the ruck as much. He's everywhere at the moment. He's playing to edges, he's passing, popping up through the middle, so I expect him to have a busy night as well. Moving on from that one, we go to the early game on Good Friday. This one is never easy. Dog South, doesn't matter what sort of form line, it's another one of these games that you look at and go, okay, you never know what's going to happen. The biggest one I can still remember is obviously the famous James Graham, the old bent finger after wiping out Reynolds like it was 10-pin bowling. But this could not come at a probably worse time for South Sydney, where their draw is already terrible, but you're getting a Bulldogs team with their tails up after a smash up last week when you're at your absolute lowest. They've made a couple of changes again. They've got Havili and Kepi now out of the 17, Cheekham and Shaka are in. They've stuck with Hawkins. I was a bit confused about the Havili dropping, how you can go from middle hooker to starting hooker to out of the side. I didn't actually think, again, he'd been that bad. So this constant chopping
Yeah.
and changing the edge or the bench, I don't think that's the problem. I think attitude across the board is a bigger problem than anything for this team. But for the Doggies, stability. And I think they've got a chance. The only change they've had to make was a forced one. Other than that, they're 1-17. And Addo Carr is in, I think, the 20 at the moment, 23. So.
20, he's 23 at the moment. Whether he stays in the 19, probably get updated in the next 24 hours, but
I just wouldn't make the change at the moment. I don't know why you'd risk it this early in the year when you've had a good week, you've built nicely with the turnaround. Like Tracy and Wilson are doing a good job. Just wait until he's 100%. There's no point in risking someone.
not this early in the season. I think you're spot on at the start. Like, we sort of touched on this in the preseason, whether Souths, if they started slow and a few things once again went against them. Well, here it is in bold and neon, shining for everyone. Looking at this game, like, as a fan of either side, this is a huge matchup, nice and early. I thought the Dogs were kind of honest when they lost against the Sharks, but then, like, is it fool's gold with the Titans? Like, who I think
We've seen it with
you're at
the
Belmore,
Dragons. Yeah.
you got up and about. Here's the form line is. But South just didn't fire a shot last week. Like, they're abysmal. That's the sort of loss that's going to stick with you. Certainly, all of the conjecture about the selections, about the coach, even pundits coming out about the fitness of Cameron Murray and the longevity of how he's going to go. Once again, I think this has the opportunity for South to either blow them off the park and break the shackles of what's been a really poor start of the season. And in order to do that, it's got to be Mitchell and Walker to really go forward. I thought Whiten's efforts was honest last week, but in a losing side, that doesn't mean Whiten, one out of 16, one out of 17 is having a crack. If there's a major attitude adjustment, this is the sort of game that South will go, all right, let's bang this out, let's get the season going. Working against that theory, though, is, for me, it's It's once again the forwards and the forwards for the Dogs. I think really don't leave. I think they've got them covered for South. Besides Colin Matangi and everyone else, I actually think the mix of the forwards and even on the bench with Morin and Curran, I think that beats what Souths are putting on the table at the moment. And it's going to take a fair bit of go forward for either team. And I think the Dogs probably have the edge in the forwards. It's just you look at this Souths roster and you think something's got to give. Here it is. I'm a little bit conflicted, mate. I'm tipping Souths with no great faith in anything other than Jesus Christ, they have to turn it around. And I can't sort of buy into, whilst the Dogs were fantastic last week, they did nothing wrong. I'm just trying to work out how bad were the Titans, and they were abysmal, don't get me wrong,
Horrible.
but this is after three losses and with all the conjecture, is this the week that Souths come out and actually fire? It's going to be a great look for what was probably looking at, you would have thought maybe a bottom five or six team against a top four team at the start of the year. This is even pegging. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you there. I think forward pack, like similar deal. This is probably one of the weeks form-wise, they're not going to get a better opportunity. But yeah, I think a couple of guys this year have just started slow and haven't looked quite what I thought they would. Like Totola, not last year, the year before, prior to injury, was outstanding. Tommy's been going around for a long time. He looks like he's, starting slow as well. Kalon Mutungi was the real point of difference last week. I'm with you. And Murray already looks busted because he carries so much of the burden. It's incredible. But I think it's pretty much what you've just said there. If they can hold up there and actually complete some sets and not try to play football like they need to score off every set and every play when they haven't earned the right to, by actually going through the middle, they're in this one. But it is on Latrell, it is on Cody because they've changed the halfback, they've changed back row combinations, they've changed middle rotations, they've changed the bench. At the end of the day, the buck's going to stop with the big three. It's the guys they paid the money to, it's the guys they put their future into. They gave Cook another extension. They gave Cody an extension. They gave Latrell an extension. I actually, funnily enough, don't think Latrell's been too bad individually. But as a whole, like they just seem like that is another part of the problem. Not only his defensive attitude and overall attitude, not that great. It seems like a lot of guys are just, going one out or doing their part rather than this Souths machine that we've seen where it's been beautiful left side attack shifts. And last year they had the right side and it was all sort of clicking and it goes together. When they play their best football, it's beautiful. But even watching last week, I didn't know what they were trying to set up for. Punch one in and hit an edge and then you punch one in again. I'm like, they're generally a team that don't waste plays. They sequence very well. They know where they want to get to. They'll throw two or three shots a set. They just are very flat and very ordinary. And probably the thing that filled me with a little bit of hope, and again, opposition, not the greatest with the Titans, but it was nice to see that Penrith combo on the left for the Dogs with Kikau, Crichton, Burton, and it was just simple for Burton. Dig into the line, feed one of those two. Kikau is a human magnet. Critter, they ran a loaded short side a couple of times and come up with some gold. I think if they do that again, going at that edge and the players that are going to be defending there, Dean Hawkins is not a big man. I know where I want to put Kikau, and it's straight through his chest. So that left side again, I think it's going to be a danger, but I'm with you. I think I'm leaning South head to head with zero confidence, but doggies with the points, or if you want to go a try scorer again, I reckon Crichton and Kikau are going to be a big focal point again on that left-hand side attacking Dean Hawkins.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I actually think the teamless, I know Addo Carr's out, but I don't at the moment, and what you've seen in the last probably 18 months with the Fox, I actually think the lineup for this week for the Dogs is really steady and close to the best 17. There's a good mix. Like, I think Connor Tracey coming back in and getting a run just adds some real spark and value. So we sort of chat about that the other week. Is on the flip side, like Souths have always struck me as a confidence team, and I thought the Roosters didn't even let them get confident as much as they shot themselves in the foot. Like, they busted them up quick, and you see the heads go down. You see the red mist from Cody. The play start to come off. It's frustration. Equally, if the Dogs do that and bring the energy through the middle, they have the size to do that, and they also have the spark with their outside backs. As I said, like, Tracy's a whippet. Crichton is world class. It's making Burton's job a bit easier compared to what's been easier. All he has to do is actually give early ball and then chime in where he can. He's still like sort of learning that art, but I think it's going to be close. I'd be thinking potentially 1-12 either side, but arguably potentially go the Dogs with maybe around a 9.5 or a 10 start. I don't think the Dogs are going to let Souths off the hook, but it's, forgive me, shit will get off the pot for Souths already, and it's round four. And I think Jack coming in and maybe not facing a red hot Rooster side this week and actually dragging a few blokes, like you're just hoping that they've had a huge week of training. Nothing would shock me. I think it's going to be far tighter. I think it's going to be a cracking game and a tough game. But yeah, I'm slightly edging towards South still, but I'd be actually thinking Dogs with something in front of them, if I was going to have a bet.
Yeah, and I'm with you there. I'm with bluebet.com.au. Souths are $1.48 favorite at the moment. The Dogs, 265 straight up, if you like the head-to-head. The line, 6.5 points, $1.85. So you could probably drag that out to 8.5, 10.5 if you'd like and still get something decent for the Dogs. The 1-12 either way, $3 for Souths, 370 for the Dogs. And that left edge, Connor Tracey's on the end of it, 262, good value. Crichton, $3 is good and kicks is four. So him at Hawkins and that sort of edge, I'm a fan of. If I was going to go one for Souths, and it's just because perennially he loves scoring against the Bulldogs, it is Latrell. Latrell loves a bully try against a team where they get over the top. He's 250. Other than that, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in their attack right now. But if there was a day for him or Cody to do something on that left-hand side with Jack, if their forward pack can hold up and they can hold the ball, I'd expect it to be that left-hand side with those guys and Kalamatungi. But yeah, I think I'd be happy to maybe extend the points a little bit and have another dip at kick-out. I liked him last week and he got one. I think he's a good chance going at young Hawkins again as well.
Yeah, definitely. Look, $4 is very nice, and anything around that $1.50 to $1.70. Bulldogs with the start. I think there'll be a bumper crowd out there too. Easter shows on. Both sides call this home. I think, they might get 35, 40,000 out there. It's typically a well-visited game, so huge crowd, a lot of kids and a lot of families. I think it's going to be a good spectacle.
Looking forward to that one. The early game, always good time. We move on to the later game, the Queensland Derby, Broncos Cowboys again. A little bit of shine taken off with the loss of Walsh to go along with Haas, but they've confirmed today that pretty much seems like Reynolds is back and he's good. But the blows kept on coming. Pia Kura, who I think's been pretty sharp the first few rounds, considering what they've dealt with, ankle injury. So he's looking up to a month. So big reshuffle. They've got Saylor at fullback, who did a great job last year, so I think he'll be handy. Jaden Hunt in the back row doesn't fill me with a whole lot of confidence. They're already light on in that regard. And Corey Oates was added to the bench. I get the feeling there's big potential he plays some time in the back row. He talked about it years ago. There was contracts thrown around. That's what he was playing in the 20s before they brought him in as a winger when this whole rage started about getting big outside backs or big back rows and turn him into centre wingers. But I guess Reynolds is the biggest one if they get that tick. But for the Cowboys, same team except labor, his ankle, he's good to go. So he comes back for Tommy Chester. And, they've won three against teams they should beat. They've leaked, but they've scored points. A derby game, I'm sure they'll be well and truly up for it. And with no Haas and no Walsh, you think here they have to take advantage.
Yeah, for me, look, just on a quick assessment on the punt, I'm thinking it's 1-12 either side. I don't think there's going to be a blowout either way. I think Reynolds coming back in with Mam, really haven't seen anything great from Ezra to start the year. Probably against the Panthers last week, when it was in a bit of rubbish time, he laid a couple on and they scored, and Penrith had sort of taken their foot off the gas as well. And there was a couple of little moments of, oh, yep, there it is. It is a shame about Walsh, but I think Tristan Saylor would be playing first grade at a lot of other clubs, if given the chance. He obviously requested for a release to go to the Super League to play regular time. He now gets a month in the saddle at the back there. Best case for him. I think it's pretty evenly matched up. It's the forwards for the Cowboys that have mine. They've still got Reuben Cotter named, but he's been talking about a 1 or 2 week potential injury as well. So he's still in team list at the moment. I would think he may fall out. Who comes in is sort of anyone's guess into that starting spot. It might be a Gajewski, but I think it's once again just going to be an easy watch. Nothing would shock me, particularly the back line of Broncos. I think they were still pretty red hot. the difference in them having no Walsh and no Reynolds last week was basically they had no shape and Penrith just went at them straight away. Had it been Walsh playing, you would have found a lot of the shape would have been on the back of him. I think with Reynolds coming back in and Saylor, he's more than capable. So I think their attacking prowess will be amplified compared to probably the last fortnight when Reynolds has been missing. Your point as well, like the Cowboys, they were asleep at their wheel against the Dragons early and then came out and just put them to the sword straight away. And once again, is that the Dragons not paying attention? Is it the Cowboys sort of being there? They've had a close game against the Knights. I think the Broncos have had some tougher outings to start the season. And is this the chance, whilst the Cowboys are 3-3, is this the one that they get back? I'm tipping the Cows just based on the fact that they do have a bit of that winning mentality. But like even my own selection, that may change closer to game time and get a bit of a gut feel. But I think it will be a 1-12 prop for both teams.
I think I'm leaning Cows purely because like Jensen and Fletcher starting middle, Jaden on that edge now. They'll roll Willison, Hetherington, and maybe they roll, like I said, Hunt into the middle to save a change and get Oates out there for a little bit because they're going to need to make up minutes in the middle somehow. So that's the only real glaring advantage I sort of see. I'm with you on the back line. Like Staggs up against that left edge for the Cowboys, which has been disconnected so far, and Cobbo individually can obviously be very, very physical and dominant when he wants to be. So that matchup with Labert for him could also be favourable, just physically. But yeah, the forward pack gives me a little bit of worry. I think Saylor, like you said, will be the real indicator. He's not as quick as Walsh, but he can break a tackle. He moves well. He's got a good passing game, just like him. So he'll be the real indicator along with Reynolds. But the one thing that stands out to me here, I like Cowboys head-to-head, close similar to you, but I've probably got two spots I like. If Hunt is on that edge with Mann, the fact that he's not played a lot of grade and he's mostly played in the middle, that's a spot I look at for a guy like Jeremiah Nene, who's an absolute try-scoring specialist, whether it be jumping over a man when they do that back row or half kick spot, which is a tactic for teams, or just running a nice line. And the other one that's value for me, just because I think the middle's a little bit weaker, and he set a few up last week, but he's poking his nose out at times, is Robson. I think he's good value every so often to poke his nose through and try and steal one. He's a big nine. So it wouldn't surprise me if he has a crack with Jensen and Baker in that middle.
Yeah, I thought he's been pretty damaging. And on the back of him, Val Holmes, and obviously like the forward pack last week, I thought they were the most threatening. I can probably get on the back of that selection, mate. Robson as an anytime would be a chance. I think even just for some value, just for some continuation, Valentine Holmes, like he's in pretty decent form. As I said, admittedly, against some teams that are lacking there, but anytime try scorer for Valentine might be there. Still loving the Dean Mariner bet from earlier in the season. Pinched another one on the weekend. I think if the Broncos are going to get it, it may be cutting an edge to pieces and then laying it on for either winger. I haven't really been a bit with you with their middles. They are a bit light on, and equally their bench rotation coming through, I think, lacks a bit of punch. The other sneaky, possibly, and there's a few things that have to go with him there, potentially a Tyson Smoothie ducking out. I thought he was pretty threatening coming out of nine when he got a bit of a chance coming on for Walters last week. But I'll be looking at the edges for the Cowboys. Be backing you in with the Nanai bet as well, mate.
Well, looking at those odds head to head, we said we couldn't split them. Neither can bluebet.com.au. It's $1.90 pick 'em at the moment. The 1.5 line in favour of the Broncos because they're at home. So 1-12 either way. Broncos 3.20. The Cowboys 3.05. Those couple of picks, like I said there, Nanai's at threes. That's good. He already got into twos a couple of times already. So I don't mind that at all. Robson is $6. So pretty good odds for a guy who doesn't mind having a crash if they do the job in the middle. You've got the common names like I think Drinkwater's always a threat, but he's been a bit more of a pass threat, more so than run so far this year. Holmes is $3, good value as well. That left side's been red hot with him. Tommy Dearden, who's crashed over a few times, but Cobbo's there at 275. And the other one that we spoke about, Staggs, who that edge has been leaking a bit for the Cowboys on the left. They got him multiple times there the last week, Dragons. Staggs at 3.20. Can't see Saylor listed at the moment. So he's another one I think is just good value playing at the back of shape off Reynolds. It always gives you a good option. And your man Mariner, like you said, $2 flat at the moment. So plenty of respect from the bookies when you're the short odds favourite, that's for sure.
Yeah, look, I think it's just going to be, it's a good way to close out Good Friday. Any local derby, but on first day of a long weekend, I think it's going to be a cracker. I think, yeah, still favouring the cows just up there, but nothing would shock if the Broncos get back in the win column.
Things get a bit lighter on the Saturday, but nevertheless, footy is footy. You got the Dragons off the back of another big loss. I think they head down to the Gong for the first time this year up against Manly, where they've actually had a pretty good record. But I think Manly were definitely in a different place as a team in that situation. But lots of change. Molo back from suspension, Little back from concussion. Jaime Selle is named to play his first game. Still might pull out late, so I'm not sold on that yet. And Jaden Sewer also back in. So a lot of positives there for that forward pack. Jesse Marski, after great persistence, finally got his debut last week. Me and Box only spoke about it. Has good versatility between 9 and 14, 9 and 7. So probably good chance to hold that 14 spot. And he gets the nod here, which is good for him. So some positive ins, but for Manly, no changes from last week. You've got Talau as a possible late inclusion again for Vega, if his ankle is all good, and I still have alarm bells ringing. I really like the inclusions. I really like Sua. I think Little looked good the first few games, particularly given they don't have a whole lot of options with their nine situation. But the style of football that Manly's been playing compared to what the Dragons have faced up against so far, this just has my head spinning. And the one that really got me on the weekend, Bird's been good, like yardage carries, busy and physically, but his lateral movement over time isn't the greatest for a centre. He's marking up on Hot Wheels cooler. I think Brook cooler going down that edge with Tommy sweeping short sides could be an absolute nightmare for Jack Bird.
It's funny though, Brooks is maybe 30, maybe pushing 30. Geez, he can find a gap. Like he's actually got a little set of heels on him too. I think he's a real chance for a couple of line breaks, even getting through to score. He's already bombed. What's he up to? Three, four? He's
Bomb three
bombed.
and he scored three, I think.
He could be the leading try scorer in the comp. So yeah, I've really, really liked what I saw of Manly. Had tipped him last week in that cracking game against the Eels. Couple of decisions here or there could have gone either way. Probably thought they not took their gas off. I just think they let Parramatta back into it and started to dictate terms. And once again, that'd be the learning from last week to this week. Yes, it's a home game for the Dragons. However, it's Manly for me. And it's some of the repeat offenders. Ola Kawatu, I just think, is an absolute threat anytime he's got the ball. I think if he's touching it within his anywhere within the 20, if he's 15 out, he may take three or four with him. Same again, double threats with Brooks and Cherry Evans. And I've been really, really impressed with the centre pairings, Garrick and Cooler. Cooler in particular. Garrick is holding his own, and he's also a try sneak at the moment, particularly when they're cutting through. Like he is lightning quick for a bloke that's probably 6 or 7 years into his career at the moment. I couldn't touch the Dragons with a barge pole. And the market sort of tells it. I think we've got Manly at around $1.30, $1.35. $1.35 Manly, St. George Illawarra Dragons, $3.20. It may be a bit too short for that to go on the head-to-head. I'd probably be looking at potentially try scorer markers, just given some of the line breaks that Manly have been putting on. I think you've got a real sneaky chance of picking up one or two try scorers there. If you want to stay away from those short odds, equally with the points, yeah, how long is a piece of string? Are you going to take them at 5.5 or are you going to take them at 7.5? I think if Manly win, they're going to win convincingly. But I actually think really see some value here in some try scorers, even late in the piece. And some of the repeat offenders, as I said, Ola Kawatu, he's gone close in the last couple of weeks without scoring. He may score a brace this week, if given the opportunity. I think Manly match up, I said, I kick myself, I'd be having them in definitely in the top eight, even pushing closer here if they get a bit of a form line. If everyone stays healthy, I thought the brand of footy that they've been playing, I think it'll be too good for the Dragons.
Yeah, and I'm with you. Like I said, they play edge to edge. They shift out of yardage. They throw a lot of football, and they're powerful. So I think this is the most dynamic team the Dragons have faced, and The fact they copped a couple of big scores against the Dolphins and then last week from the Cows, I think this is another level up again. So the three names I had were similar to you. I think the left, particularly with Brooks and Cooler. Brooks is $3.40, still really good value. Cooler, 275. And I think Olaquati, like you said, he's a nightmare for anyone every single week. So still at 275, pretty good odds against the Dragons. But yeah, watching the amount of success that the Cows had, particularly going left, Cooler's been really threatening. But I think this may be one of those games where they're kicking in the front door and the way they're playing, that he just gets set free a couple of times. Tommy's always a good threat, but he's $1.90. I don't see much value if he's under twos, given what he's done so far. But you talk about late value, it's one of those ones again where if they really do break him down, it's a day where a Paseka or one of the forwards, is a good nod for just smoking someone and getting over. But I think Brooks, given, like you said, three missed chances and three so far, to still be over threes at 340, him and Cooler, I really, really like.
You touched on Paseka. I thought he's been massive to start the year. He's probably transitioned from that bench player who comes on and just punches out that 25, 30 minutes. I think he's been one of the props of the to start the season. On the flip side against the Dragons, it's kind of funny. I think Zach Lomax has been absolutely honest. I
Been
think he's
great.
been really good. I actually think the move by Flanagan to put him on the wing has been justified whilst they're not winning games and everything else. I think his output has been
Mate.
second to none. He's scoring tries. He's getting a shitload of yardage meters, goal kicking threat as well. He's $2.25 for any time try scorer. He'd be the one I'd be thinking there. But yeah, actually, just in some of those form lines, it's funny. I think the Dragons are still a little while away. I just think where Manly are at this point in the season, what they've churned out over the last, 3, 4 weeks, leaves the Dragons, behind them in this contest.
Yeah, so we're pretty similar again there. So that's good form line so far. The odds with bluebet.com.au, just to wrap this one up, Dragons are $3.20 outside of that, may go further. Manly are $1.35, 8.5 start. Like, to me, I'm similar to you. I don't think it's enough. I think if Manly win, they win big. 13 plus is 243, but I wouldn't take it. It'd be more the try scorers and those few that we named. But Brooks still being over threes is probably the big one for me at 340. So moving on, wrapping up Saturday, the Titans. It was a dreadful week last week. My words that I used in the pod at the start of the week is it's one thing to lose a player and people lose a key player, but a club like the Titans, I don't mince my words in what they've delivered over their history, but I think you take Tino out, I think you've just taken the soul. You didn't just take the heart or the brain. I think you've literally taken the soul of that team.
I think I couldn't agree more, mate. I think equally it's a major chunk of their salary cap, and the risk in some of these cases, and I'm talking from a Penrith perspective, Nathan was always going to be on big money. Everyone understood that. Some of the other guys was around the six, the sevens, and then you got some players like Sorensen or Capewell who were sort of castaways in other clubs who've come in, made it their own, been veterans, and then are now starting to earn the money well into their 30s. It's a different situation for the Titans. They're paying 1 point change straight away, and he's just been ruled out in round four for the entire season. Just the mental message that that's going to send to the rest of the playing group, the head office. I thought they've been extremely lackluster to start the year, and I think the form line, as we sort of touched on earlier, is for anyone who's touched up the Titans, maybe that's not the greatest indicator you're going well. Sometimes it's the confidence boost, but I couldn't get enough on the Dolphins this weekend if given the opportunity. I'm going to be around the corner. I'm going up to the Gold Coast for Easter. You couldn't pay me to go to this game. And I love my rugby league. And after just taking the massive crack at the Titans, then they do get a few wins this week. Campbell comes back in to start at one. I see that David Fifita's named in jersey 18. If he's not ready, this is the other conundrum for the mad scientist, is you can't put him in if he's going to risk of doing something dangerous now because Tino's out for the year. It's the double side. It's the side of the yin and the yang. So I've been really underwhelmed with what the Titans have put in. I think the Dolphins coming off the bye and also some of the efforts that they showed. Obviously, the drubbing that they gave a fortnight ago, and the energy boost that you got from Hamiso and a few of the others. I just think there's too much upside for Wayne's boys this week, and I think it's really bad signs if you're a Titans fan for this year. Counter argument, if like the Tigers churned out last Saturday night and their big win, I think, yeah, Titans are in for a long one, and it's still March.
Well, the thing that scares me more, I heard all the journos arguing this week, going, "Oh, you need points, you need points." Well, the only thing they've ever done well is score points. And with Dez, he was supposed to fix their defense and their attitude. Not only is that as bad as what it was, now they look like they literally couldn't score if their life depended on it. The one time last week they had any chance was Brimson off a bomb contest first set, and he threw it into four. So say what you will about Holbrook and people past, in particular Holbrook. I didn't agree with the sacking. That's not saying now this is correct after two rounds and them losing Tino, but I thought they never lacked in terms of the way they attacked or the way they played in that regard. It's just always been a theme at that club that they don't defend well. So to get him in purely off that side and attitude, and they've built the dojo and they've done everything. If there's one thing that certainly hasn't got better, it's the defense. And that's attitude and everything that he's there to work on.
But it's the same thing, even with some of the coaches going back to Cartwright and others. You know, like it's a bit of history repeating. So, like, there are clubs who, you know, for many years Penrith weren't going great, and you always have the junior system, and you know they've got a big fishbone of talent up there on the Gold Coast and in the Brisbane League, so they could go and hand pick on anyone. And I think just getting a circuit breaker sometimes to get it right, and the Titans just haven't done it. And the issue for me, again, as you said, is Tino's out. Round four, ACL, 1 point change, captain, leader from the front, energy. What's he doing on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at training and captain's runs coming into the game? If he's the big leader, who's going to step up to fill those shoes? Whilst you still have some really solid veterans in guys like Kieran Foran and that, you're just not going to get the effort that Tino's going to put out. And the same again, what's it going to do for Fifita? Because Fifita has been that guy where when he had Tino in and he was sort of freed up to do some of the really magical and just, you know, galling stuff that he can do. If he goes into just being an engine man, are you going to take away some of his spark? So I think holistically, their roster and how it's sort of made up and some of the talent they're putting out works against them in this case. That's then amplified by the out for Tino. Whereas the Dolphins, I think, you know, they're close to full strength here. There's a couple that obviously with Gilbert being out from the start of the year, they've basically recalibrated to the point where, okay, Hamiso found some form the other.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Week, you've got Farnworth and Avarilla have come in. I think, obviously, Katoa. There's
He's
more
really
upside
good.
to Katoa than an O'Sullivan. They've made that call early. Let's see how it goes. They've had a big win coming off the bye. I just think, yeah, it's the Dolphins for me. And there's a couple of try scorers here in the Hammer. I think Farnworth. I think Cody Nikorima is a little sneak around the ruck. He's a fair chance. I think there's just far more upside for the Dolphins in this contest.
And I also think Dez will pull some late moves. He loves to try to do a throw off. I don't know the point of it half the time. If a feed is a late in, Haas will probably go to the bench. Stimson will probably drop off. Wouldn't surprise me if Jojo Jafita was a late move to the centres and Tanner Boyd gets the punt for four and to move to seven and Brimson to go to six. I don't know why they haven't done that already. You need points. It's not coming from him. Let Foran steer it. Put AJ on the ball. Jaden Campbell at one. You need to find as much spark as you can possibly get. And I think those moves, but I'm with you. If you go off the form line, this is a team that had the Dragons pinned on their line for a whole half, scored one try, got beat by 24, then got lit up by the Dolphins, two teams that I'd consider bottom four teams. And then you've got the Dolphins over here have walked into the Dragons, put 40 on them, have an older forward pack, have had a week off to freshen up some of those legs. So they'll still be keen as mustard to go. bounce back after obviously their coach was super unhappy with what he saw week one. And then with the Gilbert thing, to your point, has rejigged things a little bit with Aiken and a Plath to bring a little bit more mobility and leg speed to a forward pack that was lacking, which worked out great guns last game. But the big two that are standing out, you've just hit both. The Hammer with the way they defend and the amount of free space that's around. If he's not in the twos and three category in this game again, I'm not here. And Herbie on the right this year, not playing on the left like he was up against Kelly, who last week was the spot the Bulldogs had a lot of success with, not just on the left, but on the right. I think they got him 4 or 5 times, whether it be line breaks, half misses. Herbie versus him, if they win the middle, which I think they will, just, yeah, a no contest. But Cody's a good chance. I think you've also got sneaky value in Marshall King. Marshall King, for me, is one of these guys. It's not every week, but he's got good deception. He can have a sell if their middle crumbles like it did. He's always good sneak value.
But just looking at the market from BlueBet, like we've gone pretty hard to the paint here on why we're against the Titans, but the Dolphins are $1.70, the Titans are $2.15, the line is 2.5. I'm taking the Dolphins at 2.5, -2.5. Even in your multis, even in a head to head, it's for me. I said, I just haven't seen anything that the Titans where you think, okay, if they scratch a win in, look, stand corrected. But when you're talking form lines coming in, and particularly even how the halves are going, like I think Nikorima has been pretty solid. And then the selection of dropping O'Sullivan and Katoa coming in and having that big win, that kid's gone to a World Cup, I think, prior to playing NRL. Like he is still learning his craft. Like I think the faith that Bennett's going to show in him is going to be far more advantageous for what the Dolphins are going to do later in this season if he can hold up. But against this one, like they'd be circling this as well, saying, yeah, we're going down the coast. We're going to go there. It's not going to be a packed house. I don't think the Gold Coast has ever had a packed house. Let's get in there. Dolphins fans may travel. You know, $1.90 with -2.5 for the Dolphins. That's where my money's going before I even entertain any of the try scorers. But as I said, Hammer. Farnworth for me are definitely the two that I'd be looking at in this. And I think it could get ugly late, like it has done for the Titans in a couple of recent weeks.
We're scarily on the same line for a lot of these games, so hopefully that's not bad juju. But even the $1.70 head to head, I thought they'd be a lot less. So $1.70, like you said, Dolphins with bluebet.com.au. You've got the Titans 215, 2.5 that line again, $1.90. It's not many times I'd think 13 plus Dolphins because they're not really that team. But man, $3.45, if they're broken already, the Titans, and the amount of eyes I watched on Tino when he was down and the way their body language looked, I'm not filled with a lot of confidence. And those try scorers, like we talked about, going to the prices, the Hammer at 225. I thought he'd be like $1.65 or something short. Anything over twos, sign me out. Alarm bells ringing. Herbie Farnworth, 262. Marshall King's usually around the fives or sixes. He's 450. And Nikorima also 450. Titans, I don't have a lot of confidence to really throw at anybody. Like, last year it would have been Cam Pereira because that left edge was so hot. But even him at $1.90 with the way they're playing, couldn't use your money or anyone else's money. And there's no real markets or any value I see pretty much for anybody there. I'm pretty much all in on the Dolphins.
No, the only one I could think of, and he's actually not listed in the try scorer markets at the
Peter.
moment, is Jaden Campbell. So
Oh,
he'd be the one that I think, you know, if they're going to get something, and if the Titans do lift against our better judgment at the moment, I think it has to be on the back of some creative genius. And for me, I think they're sort of shooting themselves in the foot with AJ being stuck in the centers because he's not getting the ball, and I think he would be the creative spark. But with Campbell coming back in, I think if they are going to show anything this week, it's got to be on the back of something. And he may be the asterisk for the Titans. But with no markets up, I said my money would be going on the Dolphins and Dolphins players. If you're around town on Saturday night.
yeah. And we move on from that one to the Sunday slate. And we've still got a Monday game as well. Warriors, Newcastle in New Zealand. I wasn't awfully convinced by what I saw from Newcastle last week, considering what Melbourne didn't have on the field. I think Melbourne could have probably won that one, if I'm being completely honest, which very much surprised me. And for the Warriors, another big in. Muratani Okoro returns, big inclusion on the bench. Egan's named again. God knows what's happened there. So I just don't even look at it at the moment. But if he does play, it's a bonus. Roger to fullback. I like Tuipeki, but I think Roger's an upgrade. And after a couple of runs in his belt, that's not a bad thing. And for Newcastle, Leo Thompson, he took the early guilty plea, misses a game. So the only change there is Saifidi pushes into the starting side. They've brought Brody Jones onto the bench, but similar deal. Their season ended in a bad way last year over in New Zealand. This is not a place you want to be travelling when I don't think you're playing good football. They got one last week under tough conditions against Canberra. I thought they, again, probably should have chalked up their first two. I'm calling breakout week this week for the Warriors. If there's going to be one to finally really get things flowing, unfortunately for Newcastle fans, I wasn't awfully convinced by what I saw last week. I think they're going to be looking for absolute blood here. Yeah,
Yeah,
I don't really know
it's
what to say other than I didn't see much.
no, I think in for me that I'm definitely going with the Warriors. I believe that $1.42 at home. I think that's the safe bet in this case. It was a bit the same with Newcastle. I thought they had every opportunity to really lay something on the Storm, and credit to the Storm that some of the younger guys stood up. Tyrone Wishart, had a decent game stepping into the seven there. But geez, that might have been one where Newcastle, okay, getting the win's the first thing, but maybe the confidence boost didn't come on the back of it. And I just think it's funny, like Tuivasa-Sheck goes to fullback and you bring Pompey in, who
It was
has
great last year.
done a job for years and years, and he's coming in solid. And it's, I'm not saying they are arguably stronger at the back. The big in for me as well is Egan has missed. He was a late withdrawal last week as well. So Wade Egan comes back in for the Warriors. I think their engine room is exactly as how Webster would want it, moving throughout the season. That's not to say that the Knights, I think their forwards have been strong in cases, but certainly from an attacking point of view, I think they've really, they missed an opportunity last week. And whether that's potentially still getting that mix with Gamble and Cogger, I think on the counter side of that argument, Metcalf and Johnson, that's what they're going with this season. Shit, if Sean Johnson was 27 instead of bloody 34, they'd have 5 or 6 years together, and this would be the thing. The only thing that's going to cost them a longer relationship is SJ's age. But for me, it is the Warriors as well. I'd probably just be going with the head-to-head, for me. But the other one as well is old faithful, Watini's Lesniak, anytime try scorer, $1.72. That into the Warriors in the same little same gamer on a Sunday, is where I'd be going. But I think the Warriors are going to be too strong. I just think the class across their pack and also just the halves, is probably where it's going to go. And the beneficiaries of that are probably going to be those outside backs, and that's where I'd be looking for any other try scorers too.
Well, like I said, I've got a few here that I like, and I don't know how many times you can go to the well with this one, and his price just keeps getting shorter and shorter. But I like Finua Blake again. I
Yeah.
just think
We said it.
a
We
man
said it
that
last week, and
size should not be able to glide
yeah.
like that. He does like the Johnny Cage Mortal Kombat bloody shadow kick. He just slides sometimes with that feet, that little shuffle. He's got the power. They even put him out the back of a double lead last week, and he ran the sweep line. It was out of this world, but. I think between him and what he does, and if Egan's there, I really think this opens up. And the gamble spot at times, like he's a bigger body, he doesn't move that well laterally. I can see them really sweeping to that left. They've hit forward on the lead a lot. Metcalf's been running, and Rogers at the back there is a run threat. I think that sort of three prong where they're predominantly a right-sided team for Dallin, but that sort of spot there for me. I'm really, really looking at that. So Metcalf's still $3. Sheck's 250. And Adam, he's gone all the way down from the front rowers club, where they're usually up in the sevens and the eights, into the fours now. He's pushing into like a halves price market. He just scores too much, the big man.
Yeah, there's nothing like missing the start of the game as you're packing your kid up to go to your in-laws, and you realize that maybe you wanted to have something on Adam Fanua Blake, and he scores the first try, like you said. That's a really beautiful feeling every week. So, I'll be lining up nice and early on Sunday, mate. I'd get around him for that, but yeah, if I'm just looking to get into this, I think the Warriors are going to be too strong. I think Dallin as well is going to find the try line. He always seems to do that, probably cartwheeling about row F by the time that he lands on the ground. But yeah, Warriors too strong, and we sort of touched on this at the start of the season. I think their home games, they obviously dropped the first one against the Sharks, but I think
They
that's going to
won't
be a
be
tough carry for a lot of visiting teams this week and this year. And based on last week with the Knights, yeah, it's just in the too hard basket for me. Warriors at $1.42 is as good as value. maybe Dallin coming in, pumping that up with an anytime try score is where I'd go.
Yep, with you there. Bluebet.com.au, $1.42 for the Warriors. As you've said, the Knights, $2.85 if anyone likes them. Traveling as the outsider, the line you get is 7.5. I wouldn't be touching that. If you think it's going to be a closer one, the 1-12 is 3.10. I won't go as far to say my 13 plus. I just think they're comfortable winners or they'll control the match. So I won't go that hard. But again, I just think they're building to something and they'll want a big week. And if Egan was the in, I'd feel a lot more comfortable with it. But not knowing that again, and similar to you, having Pompey pushing the centre, Roger at the back, Murata back in, if all those are in place, I really, really like the Warriors. And I think it might be a tough weekend for the Knights. But we move on to the second Sunday game. And speaking of tough weeks, it was one last week for the Sharks. Lost three middle players, were absolutely terrible. We're in a real fight for the first 20. It was a good game of football, but went off the rails after that. Errors, penalties, just lost their heads. And they come into this week probably a little bit undermanned, to say the least. Finucane has a fractured eye socket, I think. So he's out, not only with that, but he had the double up on the concussion. Royce Hunt hurt his calf warming up on the sideline. Toby Rudolph, Sharks reportedly filthy with the Bateman tackle. They called hip drop. The NRL showed definition and versions of the hip drop and said that under the way they classified it, it's technically not the one that they would charge in terms of swinging in or force. So they're not happy about that, but he's missing. And with that reshuffle, Talakai has had to go from the centre to the back row. They bring in the former New South Wales Cup player of the year, Kale Iro, who's a very good player, but big challenge for him. Hazelton slides into the starting pack, and then the bench is a complete rebuild. You've got Daniel Atkinson, who played one game for Melbourne. He plays fullback or halves, so a bit of utility cover there. Jack Williams, Billy Burns, and Tukahau Tapua, the Roosters man who followed Fitzgibbon. So they're a bit light on. They're going to need good minutes from Hazelton, Kafusi. McInnes, I think, might have to go to the distance in this one. And if not, it'll be Burns maybe rotating for one of those back rowers to play a little bit of time as a middle, but then leaning into Canberra on the opposite side of things. Middles is not where they lack at all. No. And the fact that Horsburgh came back, had a big game last week. Mooney's been killing Cup. You know, they got Elliott back. He'll be better for the run. Papa, Tarpany, Arta's come back in this week for Gula, who I think's been solid. Like, they've just got forward options out the absolute wazoo. And I think the only change here for them was, again, force. Chris was back from the HIA, so naturally he was going to be in. But Hopewade, unfortunately, had a bit of an incident cooking, apparently, and got some burns. So they've had to swap him out for Schiller, who has scored 5 or 6 tries already in New South Wales Cup. So the Raiders here surprises me very, very much. They're the outsiders. And looking at what Cronulla did last week and then taking out all those middles to go up against this forward pack, I'm not saying it's a blowout because no game generally ever is at the Prison, but the way Canberra play, the way they complete and the forwards they've got, I like Canberra as the outsider.
Yeah, and people are going to scream bias given who your big-headed brother is. But I think as well, I thought Canberra Hill went with the Warriors for a long period of time and weren't just in the balance there, but could have taken away if it wasn't for that Tuivasa-Sheck, you know, bit of brilliance. On the flip side, you mentioned a tough week for the Sharks, tougher for punters, tougher for anyone in a last man stands last Saturday night, watching everything go up in flames.
Yep, mine went down too.
Kudos to the Tigers fans that got out there and obviously the way that they played, and they just brought the effort. And the real scary thing for me was that you didn't see it from some of the meant-to-be leaders or in Nicho Hynes and others at the Sharks. It was deer in the headlights stuff, let Arpy come through, let him cut him to ribbons, thought Hazelton was strong. He gets an opportunity this week starting, but the fact that you pointed out, they've lost their three middles.
Yeah.
Three out of the four middles from this week are out. And Finucane is coming to the end of his tether from an injury side of things, and that's pointing out, whereas I think they've just got an absolute bevy of riches in the Raiders. The fact that you've got Horsburgh coming through Cup, he's listed at 19 at the moment, but there's no need to rush him back at the moment. They're sport for choice with some of the middles there. I think Fogarty is doing an A1 job in steering them around, but so are some of their outside backs in making some meters. I thought Savage has probably found his spot on the wing. You know, he's a bit lost at fullback at different stages.
Just
I thought Tomoko's been out. Yeah, Tomoko's been outstanding. I think he's been the pick of the outside backs for Canberra for probably coming on 2 seasons now. And Rapana, at his ripe old age of about 34, is holding his own at the back. And for me, it's the same thing. I'm tipping. I will tip the Raiders, but from a punting perspective, I'm taking the Raiders with a bit of a start. Give yourself a bit of fat. Look, a 10.5 start on a pick your own line. It's around about $1.41. So if you think they're going to get the job done and push them through, like, slide up and down that scale. But the only thing is, the Sharks at the Prison, as you said, Sharks fans are going to get out there Easter Sunday night,
Gonna be liquid.
belly full of lamb, heap of wine, heap of bloody frothies. It'll be pretty full on out there. That's the only thing I can think is, okay, they've got to bounce back from last week. But I'm looking at form lines. It's the Raiders, and they went toe to toe with the Warriors for an extended period of time at an away game in New Zealand. They get an extended break this week, given that it was Friday following into Sunday, and they're leaving people out like Horsburgh and still have a solid mix. And I thought the Smithies, Whitehead, Hosking rotation, and people talk about Supercoach, this and that. Like, Hosking still got decent minutes coming in. They rotated them, and Ricky obviously has a plan there. He showed that last week. But for me, yeah, I'm with you. I'd be maybe thinking something with Raiders head to head. But if you're wanting some interest there, I'm taking them with a bit of a start.
I think there's a few good, like I said, a few good offers points wise between, like, say, them, the Dogs. There's a few that if you think they're closer, and then just the Finns straight up, you could take 10.5 or 12.5 and 10.5 there. And if it's $1.40, $1.40, $1.70, like, you're sort of pushing yourself close to that $3 mark win ones where you're probably more confident of the head to head. But bluebet.com.au, Sharks still a $1.55 favourite. It's closed in a little bit. I think it started about 265 before these names, but the Raiders now 245. I still think great value. 4.5 is the start. And the few that have got me, and again, just looking at the way things have been reshuffled, Savage and Schiller on either edge, I think are good pops just because most wingers you don't get sort of mid twos. Schiller's not listed at the moment, but when he is, if he's any more value playing outside Tomoko, then 250, I'd say get on that. Savage at 262 with Chris, who I think is underrated. But Tomoko, again, I know he's probably more provider and he does a lot of damage leading into it, but up against Irl, played a lot of cup, NRL defending, a pack that'll probably be punched in the middle, which compresses and then opens up your edges. I think Tomoko one-on-one with Irl is a handful. So you get 325 there. And then I'm going to the well for a former teammate. He generally likes a crash over, but again, things being loosened up a bit in the middle. Couple of bodies not there. He's as fit as he's ever been. This might be his last season. I reckon Big Papa might just punch one straight to the teeth here. $8.50 is my value pick.
Going wide on a Sunday night. Yeah, look, if I'm looking, scratching out for any value, Talakai moving into the back row somewhat interests me. Like, is he going to lay it off? Is he just going to take that crash ball? Is he going to get it out to Iro? Talakai's at around $4. It's the other one for me, potentially for the Raiders. Once again, are you going to try and hit their edges, given that there has been that reshuffle? Potentially Hudson Young, $3.50, can also cross the line when given the chance. I think it is going to come down to a battle of the big boys, and I just think the Raiders have the edge. I think there's too many outs for the Sharks. I think Nico and Trindle will lift after last week. I think their back line for the Sharks is still red hot, but you've got to get some go forward. And the one for me is Hazelton has been doing that. I really like the
Very
bloke,
good job.
but coming off the bench, the big body and everything else, but losing three
Yes.
of your starting four is a big out, particularly when you've got the Raiders leaving out Origin caliber forwards. I think there's a bit doing there, and that's where I'd be going. Potentially, as I said, Raiders there, but if it gets, I think it's going to be a battle of the big boys, and potentially there, Hudson Young, 350 is probably the one that I would get my interest as well.
Good value, good value. And I think, like you said again, Haslam's good, but how many minutes? Oregon's a short stint player. McInnes is the one who this week he's going 80. But like Tuku the other week, he only gave him 10 minutes. He's big impact, low minutes. Williams, like I think it's going to come down to like Burns might have to rotate with somebody to steal and find minutes. And that's the reason, like you said, looking at Canberra, looking at the way they can roll Elliott, him, Arthur for a short stint, Papa for a stint. Tarpa can play 60, Smithies can play 80, Hudson can play 80, Tarpa can play 80 if you want him to. Like, I just think they're going to have more staying power. And if they complete like they are and juice Cronulla, this could open up late like it did against Newcastle. And that's why I see maybe someone like a Papa punching one through the teeth at the back end. But the prison, the Bermuda Triangle, we've had many names for it over the years. It's always an awkward place to go. So we'll see what happens off the back of that. But let's get to the last one, Easter Monday, to wrap us up and send us home. Another one with a lot of intrigue and interest as of the result of what's happened this week. The Tigers off their first win, and a good win at that, up against the Parramatta Eels, 4 p.m. at CommBank. Mitchell Moses, fractured foot, anywhere from 6 to 12 weeks. They're not sure, probably 8 at least. And talked about the options during the week. The one option I did bring up is the one that happened. And I didn't think they would go this way for now, but I'm not surprised. Talangi, hell of a talent. They've had big raps on him. His two best spots are probably six and fullback. But I thought maybe they might go for someone else with him. But Dill, big money, long-term deal. Lots of hope in him. He's done it before without Moses. I think it was 2 years ago. He missed a month and they won 3 out of 4 with him playing at seven. They've gone straight for Blaze. Sivo coming back obviously allowed them to put Harper back in the natural spot of centre and cover that, and obviously have Sivo go back to the wing. They've got Simonsen still in the wings there if they want to make a change late and get him in the centres or in the back line somewhere. And probably the other one who's been really good, Cartwright, but they've said broken ribs. They're worried about
Yeah.
kneeling it, and if he plays, if he doesn't, I think they might push Kelmer in and bring Wiremu Gregg onto the bench.
Yeah, I was about to say that. There's, he's still named at the moment. There's talk of, obviously with rib fractures and whatever else. Like, as you said, like it's too early in the season to be sort of dicking around with that type of injury. It's a shame. As I said, like this entire round has just been absolutely decimated. I was trying to search before to see when was the last time you saw this much amount of talent, and in an early start of the season, particularly in like in an individual round where, you had some of the major playmakers, arguably potentially, the New South Wales half pairing in Moses and Cleary is how I
Yeah.
would have it,
Queensland fullback,
both out for a
Queensland
month.
front rower, Gilbert missing, another Queensland forward. Like, you're looking at top five
Yeah.
talent.
ACL for Tino said season gone, so it's a bit shocking, but yeah, mate, you called it. I liked what I saw of Talagi last week. That try going straight over Turbo. If you can't go around and go through him, sort of thing. What does he do at six? Is it a step too far in the second week? But in all of the pre-game stuff and even post-match, they were just talking about the confidence that he showed at training. So Arthur's not going to put him there when he does have options running around in cup, but. Based on what the team is here, I do see that. On the flip side, Tigers, don't fix what's not broken. It's as simple as that. Last week was this the case where, we talked about, oh, Benji's cop made flak. They came out and showed it. I thought it all centered around Arpi. And for Arpi to do what he did, I thought the forwards equally ripped in. I think you've got some real talents. And some real junior prospects in obviously Buller, but particularly Galvin again stood up, laid it on. Caesar just steering him around and freeing him up. Hey, keep that process going now. I think it's going to be much tighter given that Parramatta does have these outs. If Moses was in, even Cartwright, if he stays in, it's a bit of a different story. I will still go with Parramatta. I think Brown. Probably still has a bit to repay the faithful for what he lost last year.
Definitely.
This is him potentially for 1, 2, if not 3 months, with depending on how long Moses is out. If he can steer a Talagi around and develop this kid, all the same, you've got some honest guys. Sivo's also back in. Gutherson is going to be leading from the front. So I've got Parramatta at home as the only reason, but it might be a 1 to 12 either side from. I was thinking the Tigers were going to get touched up last week. What they delivered, sort of has me questioning, was it a one-off? Was it a this and that? But I think based on the outs this week, I think it will be a tighter contest. And these two teams can put on a bit of a ding-dong battle on an Easter Monday and have done in some of the other years as well. So Tigers upset, certainly not out of the question, but I would just be going with Parramatta here, based that it's at home. And based on the fact that you still have some world-class players, particularly leading from the front.
Yeah, I think another thing probably, and I've said this about the Sharks for a long time, the Sharks forward pack to me is not a great forward pack. I think they've got really good edges, Britton Okoro particularly, but in terms of their middle and their rotation, I'd put them a mid-pack sort of team. And you look at the Tigers, I called out a little bit Steph last week, Utukumano, that he's all this talent, we want to see it. He had a big game last week. Do that back-to-back weeks. Papali'i is a good player. Bolle, really good player. Their bench brought a point of difference, Fainu and Seyfarth, et cetera. So this week, I think the biggest difference is this is a class pack. Paulo with that late swap with Offa-Hengawi, who's also played rep football. I think that's been working with him and Madison coming on. They made seven offloads and cut things up. Big Reg as well. But I agree with you, particularly the one thing I loved with Caesar controlling things and then focusing on playing off Arpy in the middle. It freed up Galvin and Buller just to link up together, which is your long-term sort of spine build there. Like you've got a 21-year-old kid, 22-year-old kid, and 18-year-old. You're going to see a lot more of Galvin and Buller. So if they can match it with Parra in the middle, which is the big question, and let Arpy sort of pick the spots and let Caesar steer it for those two, mate, Buller's a threat every single time he pops up around the football. I really enjoy watching that guy play. He's just an absolute natural. But that was the one little window I had last week as a Tigers fan going, if those two are in the hip pocket together with somebody steering the inside for the next decade, you've got a lot of hope around Galvin and Buller.
Look, and there's no excuse that the Tigers pack doesn't actually take this head on. I mean, they've got the names, Stefano, Clemmer, Papali'i, Bateman, and Pole is going great guns as well. Like, there is no reason why they can't pick the fight this week and go with Parramatta. I actually think in this contest, Parramatta, $1.47 with BlueBet, West Tigers, $2.70. $1.47 is a bit too short for me. If I'm thinking that form line from last week and with the outs for for Parramatta, I'd be maybe thinking around picking your own line here, and I would probably fatten up the Tigers. 10.5 with the Tigers given a start, given that we think it might be close, $1.54. That is probably something that I'd be steering into, where you don't know what's going to happen on Easter Monday. We'll get to the try scorers in a tick, but if we think it might be a little bit closer, given the confidence from the Tigers last week, a few of the outs, it's disappointing for Parra fans with that rivalry win last Sunday, and then having your playmaker out for potentially 3 months. That's a kick in the shins. But yeah, it's a $1.47 is equally just a little bit too short for me, for Parramatta, given who's out this week.
Well, I'm sort of like you. I don't mind the start. I'd probably stress the 12 and a half just because I'd be a little bit worried about the goal kicking. Mind you, the goal kicking probably will have to be Gutherson now, and he can be a bit hot and cold. Moses is pretty radar-like. But yeah, it's more that middle. And I spoke about Steph last week. This is the week to step to it. You played Origin. You want to prove a point. The two New South Wales front rowers are in the opposite team. So if there's a week for him again to take a step forward, and Madge loved him and had him there at the Tigers and is the coach, take on Big Reg, take on Paulo and lead this pack this week. But I think maybe this week, this is a bridge too far forwards wise. Maybe it might be a little clunky at times for Parramatta, but interesting to see how Dylan combines with Blaze. It's almost like looking in a mirror a little bit for him 4 or 5 years ago when he come into grade. Young guy, fresh out of SG Ball, went into first grade. No doubt Gutherson will help. But the few spots I'm sort of looking at here, I like Panicetti up against Olam. Olam will make you pay. But also at times he can be very trigger happy. So I think Panasini's got a little bit of footwork he might be able to get outside him at times if he comes flying in like he likes to. That right edge in general sort of interests me because he's obviously defending, Galvin and a couple of guys there and Bateman who I think slowed down a little bit. So I don't mind Cartwright, but when the rib injury come up, I probably wasn't a fan. But the big name is the one you said before. If there's a day for Dylan to lay one on and his running game is also good, hopefully the kicking side of it doesn't cloud his head too much. When he plays run first, he's a great threat. So I like him to take control here. And Tigers, the only one that really interests me. And again, just not knowing what's going to happen with the middle. Like Buller's just a guy to me again. He just always seems to find a moment. He always seems to pop up at least once a game. He's 275.
Yeah, I'd probably be thinking maybe RP anytime, $4.33. I said the amount of involvements and how much he's going to steer that around. I think that is the formula for the Tigers. Get it around RP, and then free up your halves. If he's a little try sneak moving through, $4.33 for Coruscant. Same again with Parramatta. If things are going wrong and it has to lay onto the forwards, I think Hopgood found the line against Penrith the other week. Once again, he's nothing but effort. He's around $5. And Louis, tell me whoever's marking on Morgan Harper. I'll take a little anytime try scorer on him because absolute liability. Is it
Tennessini
going to
to
be
right.
Fatape, is it going to be Fatape or is it going to be Olam? It's going to be Fatape, isn't it?
Harper is the left side here. Fatape. If you're
Try
going to go
something on
that
it.
edge, I'd probably be more interested in the back row, which would be Papali'i playing wider.
Yeah. So the Tarpe is $3.50. And as we're going through, just trying to see what size they are properly.
4.50 for Papali'i with Bluebet.
As I said, look, I was off Harper when he was at Manly. I'm off him when he was at the Eels. I think there's a lot of other fans out there too. I just think, yeah, a bit of a defensive liability at times. If the Tigers are going to get over, potentially out on the edges there, is where I'd be maybe giving it a shake. But I do like Coruscant. I think he's going to be threatening coming out of the ruck, and he may even find it himself. And huge game last week. I think, you know, he's going to drag the Tigers with him if they are going to get back-to-back wins.
4.33 with Bluebet with him. The other one, like I said, for me, Dill's probably the one I really like. I think he needs to put a stamp on it. 3.75. I was going to go another big boy in Junior Bolo, but I think 6.50. I would. He doesn't score that often. I wanted eights or a bit more like Big Papa, so I'll stay away from that. But he's had a great first few games, old Bolo. But the 1-12, I'm sort of with you. I think if the Tigers are up for this one and they meet him in the forwards and maybe a little bit of clunkiness without Moses, they're 2.95. So that's probably stretching it a bit, but I sort of don't mind, like you said, with you the other way. If you're willing to take points for a multi, 12 and a half even stretches it to cover for that potential two converted tries, depending on the goal kicking. To get $1.44 there, I still think it's pretty generous.
Yeah, certainly, mate. And I think it's going to be a good way to close out a pretty decent round of footy. As I said, there'll be a huge crowd out there Monday. These two sides, this has become a decent fixture across that Easter program as well. So it's a good way to back end it. You know, an interesting matchup given last week's huge win for the Tiggies. And then, yeah, unfortunate major injuries to Eels. Does that bring them back to the pack? But yeah, I think it'll be a monster clash on Easter Monday.
I agree with you there. And just to wrap us up with bluebet.com.au, the futures market, I won't do this every week, but I had to because there was a fair bit of movement here when I looked at it. The big mover is the Roosters. They started out, I think, just on the fringe of double digits. They're now under $6. So a lot of people like what they're seeing. Brisbane have stepped back a bit. They're 5.50 now. And Penrith, after that win, have stepped back into the threes after getting out to the fours. They're the $3.50 favourite. Storm's still sitting at eight. Cows have come into 13. Manly at 14 after starting out in the 20s. And the Warriors have stepped in a couple of bucks along with Parra. 15 for the Warriors, 18 for the Eels. And South Sydney have blown out from single figures. Three rounds in now, they are $23. I
Outstanding,
think
mate.
the big market was the food.
Are you getting out to any footy this weekend? Is the other big question.
I'm potentially going tomorrow night, but it depends on work. I've got a few friends who are heading in. I was keen to go. The injuries sort of perturbed me a bit, but seeing as it's a long weekend, I thought, well, why not? See what happens. If I'm available to go, I still might head in and watch Roosters Panthers. Other than that, I'll be seeing Box and his team play over the weekend, but that's probably it for this weekend. Next weekend, I'm going to have a bit of a smorgasbord. I'm going to go to Melbourne for my birthday and for a bit of a holiday, and I'm going to watch Storm Broncos again. Disappointed that Haas, Walsh, and we're probably going to be missing a couple as well, but it's one of the only chances I'm going to get. Then I'll be seeing Box again, so that'll be Canberra, Para. And depending what time I get home on Saturday, I'm sick in the head. I'm considering going to Acor to watch the Warriors play South. So I could have a triple next
Yeah.
weekend.
Yeah, I'll die hard. Yeah, Brockie's boys, Henson Park, 3 o'clock this Saturday against the Jets, the old Blue Baggers. So would love to have got there if I wasn't away. But as a Penrith fan, was out there the last week. Don't have another home game in the Riff until May 9th. So I'll be scratching around for something. They play at Bathurst. They take the game against the Tigers out to Bathurst. They also have a few away games and a bye included. So a bit of a lean patch for me throughout April. Might find myself shaking hands with your brother with an autographed book hanging over the sideline at some stage in April. But yeah, slim pickings for me for the next little bit, mate. So good to see you're getting out there.
When are you guys back in? Oh, you got Thursday round 9 South at Acor. That's another one I'll probably go to because I'm a stadium member. But
Yep.
Dogs is the next one. It's an early Friday, which is always hard after work on a Friday. They still get crowds in, but you usually see maybe a couple of thousand missing. Like the crowds come to every game since the winds have been rolling into the premierships, but 6 p.m. Friday is a bit of a harder one.
Yeah.
Then it's Magic
It's
Round. Then you're at the Sharks.
magic.
Gosh, you've got a bit of a lean run, don't you? It's like one in the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, they bounce around. I think they get it back ended. But yeah, it was trying to get all the family stuff out of the way through April, mate. Getting the good books and then
Thank you, Brownie points for the missus too.
yeah, still reeling from the round two. Spread it on hard and fast and still paying for it. Physically, not with the bride, but yeah, mate, there's a bit of a lean patch through April, so might be trying to cross paths with your brother somewhere. I believe he's got a game potentially at North Sydney Oval. Talk on that in a few weeks, but I believe Magic the same week of Magic Round,
Yeah,
there's
just
also a
not magic round.
New South Wales Cup Magic Round scheduled at North Sydney Oval for all the diehards in around there. Good little circuit in at North Sydney as well, for those that like a bevy. So
The
yeah,
bolo
something
there
we
is pretty
follow
good.
through. Yeah, by the way, the greens is all time. But yeah, just that's still from where we are at the moment, 6 to 7 weeks away. So long time between now and then.
I'll tell you what, I've just looked at the Penrith draw. The next time there's a decent game, because they've only got two home games coming up after that, you've got the Dogs on a Friday, then you've got the Dragons on an early Saturday. So in terms of opposition, probably not the greatest home games. Then you finally get a good one. It's against Manly, but I'm pretty sure it's when Origin's on.
Yeah,
So
9th of June. Yeah, long weekend. But that would have been a cracker given the long weekend. Holiday Monday still will be for the diehards. But yeah, Origin's probably going to take away from that. Towards the back end of the year, there's some real decent ones at home. I think they have three of their last four, four of their last six at home, Penrith coming in. So it's a little bit scarce now. Compounded by the fact that one of the home games is out at Carrington Park in Bathurst, which is an all-time good little weekend for those that get out there. Went out there for a Raiders game many years ago, Penrith Raiders, when they took them out. Taking the Tigers out, they got the chocolates last year. But yeah, it's a little bit lean in Penrith for the next 6 weeks. So we might go a tier down, mate, and try to cross paths with your brother at some point.
well, the one that's got me is Thursday, the 15th of August. I wish it wasn't a Thursday, but Panthers Storm. It's a long way away, but like you said, the way it's worked out this year, a lot of their better matchups are actually their away games, not the home ones. But there's always
Yeah,
footy to
yeah.
watch. I'm a bit of a diva, like I said. I'll go watch the Warriors or somebody else play at Acor or Allianz tomorrow. I'm happy to go watch the Roosters play if I get a chance. But similar deal. I'll be in Canberra a few times. It'll be harder once the commentary starts again in a couple of weeks' time because he's got a lot of Saturdays, but I'll get down for a couple.
Yeah, I'll just say the one I probably will get it to Sunday, 21st of April, Bears versus Raiders. North Sydney Oval. So that's not the Magic Round. That's just the standalone. That might scratch my itch in a few weeks' time. But besides that, mate, good place as any to sit on the lounge with a couple and get after it.
Nothing wrong with that. And like I said, if you're a pair of devos like us and you've just tunneled through all that and you're looking for a bit of value over the weekend when you're with family and having a few brewskis, make sure you do it with bluebet.com.au. There's no one better to do it with than the True Blue Bookie. Thanks to them again for supporting us and the charity account this season. It's a hell of an initiative and something we really, really appreciate. And I think for this round, the promo is still there. 6 points up at halftime. You get paid maximum winnings up to $100 for your first head-to-head bet, and each match terms and conditions apply. on that one, but great opportunity there if you're trying to get an early victory. But just remember, what's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, call 1800 858 858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Woody, it's been an absolute pleasure again. Got to let you go so you can get to bed. You're hitting the road early doors tomorrow in the car, so make sure you have a double shot. Put some tape, rip those eyes back, and hopefully it's not too painful, brother.
Appreciate it, my man. Enjoy your long weekend, brother.
Thank you, mate, and everybody out there again. Hope you have a cracker. Stay safe. Enjoy your time with family and friends, but most importantly, enjoy your week and enjoy your rugby league.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.